Let's turn our Bibles to Job again, 16 and 17 this time. We're in our 14th message or so in Job now. Job 16. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do, if your soul were in my soul's place. I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not relieved, and if I remain silent, how am I eased? But now he has worn me out. You have made desolate all my company. You have shriveled me up, and it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath and hates me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. My adversary sharpens his gaze on me. They gape at me with their mouth. They strike me reproachfully on the cheek. They gather together against me. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Although no violence is in my hands, and my prayer is pure. O earth, do not cover my blood, and let my cry have no resting place. Surely even now my witness is in heaven, and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbor. For when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return. I'm going to pause there and see how far we get this evening. Job reiterates here that he has heard all of the stuff that his friends have told him. He's heard it all before. His friends, he says, are miserable or troublesome comforters. The fact is, they're adding to his mercy, his misery rather, not his mercy, his misery, not subtracting from it. He wants their advice to be over and done with. It's too much. Now he says in verse 4, I could also speak as you do. So if their places were swapped, if he was the comforter and they were the ones that were in affliction, he could speak like they do. And he's telling them what they're doing to him. They're heaping up words against him. They're shaking their head at him. But Job would want to take a higher road. And we talked about that at the end of our last session together, that we wanted to think about what could we do to bring comfort to people who are struggling in the midst of a deep affliction like Job had. So he would relieve their grief instead of adding more to their grief. Now basically, much of the remainder of the chapter from verse 6 all the way through verse 22 is a recounting of more of Job's bad feelings that he has. And he fluidly switches back and forth here between speaking about God directly. He says, you have made me desolate, or you have made desolate all my company, verse number 7. So he addresses God as you. Then he addresses God in the third person. He talks about he, verse 9, tears me in his wrath and hates me. He gnashes me with his teeth. He talks about him as an adversary in verse number 9. As well. And then he speaks of the enemies that he has. He speaks of them in the third person. He says, they gape at me, they strike me. So you've got God, you, God, he, and you have the enemies, they, who are all attacking him, as it were. I'm not sure. So it seems like he obviously attributes all of this to God. It's sort of God's fault, if you will, or God comes from the hand of God. And we know that's an overstatement of the situation because Job is not able to contemplate the fact that Satan is behind all of this and so is a part of the equation. I'm not sure how Job sees himself as being handed over to the wicked, other than to say that there are some points when he says that there are people who despise him, people who laugh at him, mock him, scorn him, and treat him badly, that you know he didn't have that happen to him before in his prosperity. So at least, though, we can say that he has a high view of God, that he believes that nothing can touch him that God has not done or God has not permitted. And that's a useful thing for us to remember. Nothing can touch you unless God permits it to touch you. Nothing can happen to you unless God permits it or directs it in a more direct fashion to you. In verse number 12, I found it interesting, this little word picture here. It says, "He has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces." I picture a cat with a mouse or a lion with a prey that grabs the neck and shakes it around and is really damaging the creature. Despite before making the final kill, playing with the prey and working it over, Job cannot get relief from his speaking, nor through his silence does he find any joy or relief. And so he's still in this excruciating agony. Verse number 16, look at this. "My face is flushed from my weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death." And this is all despite his innocence. He hasn't done anything, per se, to deserve these special afflictions. So he says in verse 18, he prays that the earth will not cover up his blood. He wants to be memorialized forever. Now, the best way probably for him to be memorialized forever is to have his words recorded right here in the book. So that happened. He was memorialized. But he didn't want his blood to be covered up. You know, he wanted it to cry out to God like the blood of Abel did when Cain killed him. He knows he's going to die. He's for sure of that, even though we know he's not. But he's sure that he will. And he's going to go to a place from which no man returns. Look at verse 21. "Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleads for his neighbor." No mediator is forthcoming, but he wants one. But certainly his friends don't fit the bill. They're not trying to act as a mediator. They're trying to act as teachers or accusers of Job. Instead, Job wanted somebody to plead with God on his behalf. Can you imagine the difference if his friends came to him, sat silently for 7 days, and then said, "Job, we're going to pray to God for you. We're going to just sit here and talk to God. We're not going to talk to you and tell you off and tell you what you need to do, but we're going to pray to God and intercede for him." That might be a good approach. What do you think about helping somebody who's in trouble like this? Even his friends have become mockers. Verse number 20, they scorn him. His eyes are full of tears poured out before God. I'm thankful, and I know you are as well, that God has made a provision for a true mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, 1 John 2:1 and 2. And so this idea of a mediator, which happens in a couple of places in Job, in chapter 9, you might remember somebody, how can somebody be right before God? And we saw that Job was hoping for somebody that could put his hands on both. Verse 33 of chapter 9, "Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me," and so on. So I'm going to add Job 9, 2 and 33 to cross references there for this section. We have a perversion of this idea of a mediator that's present in many religions. For example, you know that people think well, if I pray to Mary or I pray to one of the saints, they will be a dead saint. They will be a mediator for me. Well, that's a false religion, a false God. There's one mediator to whom we must go and to whom through whom we can get to God. So we remember that key idea of the mediator. No saint, not Mary, has merit to provide for a favorable response from the Lord. Okay, so that brings us to the end of chapter 16. Chapter 17, just a couple of moments in here. Job now expresses that he truly feels that he's finished. His friends scorn him. The grave is ready. His days are over. Chapter 17. My spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Are not mockers with me? And does not my eye dwell on their provocation? Now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake hands with me? For you have hidden their heart from understanding. Therefore you will not exalt them. He who speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children, will fail. But he has made me a byword of the people, and I have become one in whose face men spit. My eye, that's very, very bad, isn't it? People spitting in you, your face. Verse 7, my eye also has grown dim because of sorrow, and all my members are like shadows. Upright men are astonished at this, and the innocent stirs himself up against the hypocrite. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. But please come back again, all of you, for I shall not find one wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart, they change the night into day. The light is near, they say, in the face of darkness. If I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, you are my mother and my sister, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Will they go down to the gates of Sheol? Shall we have rest together in the dust? Job wants a friendly handshake with God to establish a meeting with God. He says, put down a pledge for me with yourself. I take that to be the Lord. Who is he who will shake hands with me? So he wants to make an agreement with God. Please work with me. Help me. Job has been blaming God for his problems, but he also now attributes to God the fact that his friends are clueless about his situation. Look at verse number 4. For you have hidden their heart from understanding. This kind of reminds me of a passage like John chapter 12, that God closed their eyes lest they should see and hardened their hearts lest they should understand. Or the hardening of Pharaoh's heart that God is involved in somehow. He doesn't create hardness initially or create sin to make the person stubborn. It's there and God permits it to have its full effect and flower out as it fully can when that happens. But God was not permitting them to get it, to understand what they were saying and understand the situation. They were speaking flattery, but they would be punished ultimately by God. Job's reputation is ruined. Everybody spits at him now. His emotions are in tatters. Sorrow has been his portion. His members are like shadows. Verse number 8 and 9. Still, he affirms that he's righteous. He says, the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. So he's got some hope now. He's on this emotional roller coaster. And at this point, he's got some hope that, okay, I'm going to hang on to my righteousness. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to get stronger. God is going to help me in that regard. And so he has some hope, even in the midst of his despair. He's looking for true help from his friends. Notice verse 10. But please come back again, all of you. So maybe it seems like they're going to be leaving now because they haven't made any progress in their discussion. He's inviting them to come back and maybe help him again in the future. But I would think you'd have to be quite desperate to invite them back again. Well, he was desperate, wasn't he? But why would he want them to come back? In the end, though, he didn't think... What's that? Well, that's the thing. I think, this is also an indication, I think, that Job has some teachableness to himself. He wants to learn, what is this? Can you help me? And it's a desperate situation indeed. But still, he pessimistically expected no good to come of it. He's basically in 11 to 16 saying, I am doomed. There's nothing more that can be done. Now, when he speaks of corruption in verse 13 and 14 and 15, he refers to the time when he goes into the grave. Even then, he will still have no hope. You see that? Where is my hope, verse 15? If I say to corruption, you are my father, the worm, you are my mother and my sister. In other words, he goes down and lives with them in the dirt. He's not even going to have hope then. And if he did, verse 15, look at what it says. If I did, as for my hope, who can see it? What difference would it make if I go down there and I have relief from my suffering? Will somebody come and visit me in Sheol to see my hope? Think about that. You might visit orphans and widows in their trouble. But I don't think that many of us are going to volunteer to go down to Sheol to visit with our friends who are there. Sheol is the grave. And so Job says, even if I go there, nobody's going to see my comfort. Nobody's going to see that I'm in rest and peace. Shall we have rest together in the dust? No. Understood. Answer. I don't know. I hate to think about this stuff some. It's kind of depressing, you know? Think about all this negative stuff that he's going through. But it's real. And sometimes we have periods like this in our lives where it's very dark and dreary and depressing. But we've got to get to the end of the book before we come out all the way from the darkness here. So hang on to that thought. Hang on to that thought about the mediator that he mentions there in verse number 21. And remember that we do have a mediator. God is not going to leave us nor forsake us because Christ has promised to keep us for Himself. And prayed for us, in fact, and is our advocate. So that's a great hope. When you have a diagnosis like cancer, that's not nice. Very, very unpleasant. But hopefully, like in Don's case or Jessica's case, they'll be able to come out refined through the fire of the trial. Amen. Father in heaven, I pray that as we close our time together tonight in the Word and prayer, that You'll help us to carry these words with us. O Lord, may we be strengthened and encouraged by them, even though many of them are very dark and gloomy, because we know the end of the story, and we know that there is a mediator, and we know that Job's little nascent moments of hope would indeed grow into full maturity by the end of the book, even though he despaired of that being the case. Thank You for Your kindness to us. Thank You for that prayer request that Daniel offered tonight. We pray again for Jaden and pray that he'll be back to school soon and he'll have some, easy to understand explanation of what's going on with him, and it won't be a terrible disease that he has. Lord, we pray You to uphold him and his parents and strengthen him in the midst of this trial. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.